Hello and welcome to Luann's Land Podcast, a place to find strength for your journey. Now, here's your host, award-winning country music artist, Luann Hunt.
When Rolling Stone magazine called legendary rock star Peter Frampton one of rock and roll's lifelong major players, they were right on the money. Peter rose to worldwide fame in 1975 with his smash album, Frampton Comes Alive. After its release, it went on to sell more than 8 million copies and produce several hit singles, including Baby I Love Your Way and Show Me the Way. Over the years, Peter has continued to tour and record and earned a Grammy Award in 2007 for Best Pop Instrumental Album for Fingerprints. He recently celebrated the 40th anniversary of Frampton Comes Alive, which remains one of the top-selling live records of all time. Peter has spent the past two summers touring with the Steve Miller Band. He's a busy guy, but was gracious enough to agree to an interview. And what an interview it was! So let's dive into it and welcome him to the show. Hello, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Luann. Good to talk to you.
Yes, it's very good to talk to you as well. Sounds like you have a lot going on.
Well, I think we just did either our 63rd show or our 64th show, but after about 50, you lose track.
Yeah, I give you guys a lot of credit who are out there all these years. I just can't believe that you have that energy to do it.
I think it's just because that's what rejuvenates us, I think. It's music is so healing for a lot of things. So I'm just very lucky that music is the thing that is my passion, I guess. And it's just something that I can't imagine not doing. You know, when they can hold me up, I'll still do it.
I think a lot of musicians feel that way, and you really hit on something when you said that music was healing. And really, in our day and age now, I think we need it more than ever. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, I do. I think that it's music is healing. It's also an escape. That's why I think that a lot of people are looking for live music and everything, I think. But obviously it's something that is, as we said, healing, but it's definitely something that I think is just something real and something, it's happening right now, and there it is right in front of you. And it takes people back to, it brings memories back. I think it just takes people to another space at a concert.
That's so true, and people are generally nostalgic, especially for the music that, like, you and I grew up with in our generation, because I talked about this with a lot of people lately, and it seems like there was some kind of magic there that you can't really put your finger on.
You mean in live music or just music in general?
Live music, and, like, the concerts back then were so magical, but I think I mean in general, too.
Yeah, I agree. It's just something that for me has just always been paramount in my day, music, you know, and since I can remember. So I'm very lucky that I was given a talent that something that I just enjoy so much. I'm very lucky to be doing my hobby as my work. Still, at this age.
Yeah, and how do you keep it interesting?
You know, I've been working on doing a new album of going a different direction with my band when we finished the tour, actually. So, yeah, it's always trying to find a challenge for me is something new. It's like my motto is I want to know something about my instrument tomorrow that I don't know today, you know, and that goes with writing as well. It's always trying to find something different. There's only so many notes, but it's putting them in the right order and trying to find that different approach, you know, all the time, reinvent the music.
Now, to do that, do you sort of look to your influences from the past, or do you also have current influences?
I think that I listen to everything goes in. You know, sometimes you're on input and sometimes you're on output, and that goes for songwriting as well. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh, I've got writer's block, but I think Bob Dylan said in his book that sometimes, you know, I couldn't write for a long time, and then all of a sudden, in a 10-day period, he wrote so many songs, you know, for another album. And he said, I just realized finally that sometimes we're always songwriting, we're just sometimes on input and sometimes on output, you know.
Right. And, you know, the creative process is ongoing. I don't think it ever ends. And there's never a point, if you're an artist, that you get to where you say, I'm finished.
No, I can't imagine that. No, I maybe there will be one day, but I doubt it. I mean, we're always learning, and there's always, whether it's guitar playing or playing music or writing music, we're always learning. Or to find something different, to find something new.
Do you find it fun to use all the new, quote, toys that are in the recording studio these days?
Yes. I mean, I've been an engineer as long as I play guitar. I've always been a gear nerd and into the tech side of it. So I've always been right there when something new has come out and tried it. And I think that in the long run, I think all those gadgets that have been invented over the last, 50 years, 60 years, that we use in the studio, or we use as pedals for the guitar or whatever effects for whatever instruments, I think as long as you use them and don't let them use you, it's something that, like when the computer first came along, I know I spent hours, days, weeks, you know, perfecting a great drum loop, you know, not writing a song. So you soon learn that, you know, that new technology is wonderful, but there's old technology as well that will never go away, you know. So it's take from the new, but don't forget the old, you know.
Right. Do you find it a little bit more challenging, though, to bring sort of the warmth that used to be in the music with some of the electronic recording methods?
I do, because I still use tape. I use my computer, but I record on tape before it goes to the computer. So I'm still recording analog, but utilizing today's digital, which is pretty phenomenal now, the quality. You can record in such detail that I don't have any problem with the digital end of it. But I do still start on tape.
That's really interesting. I had an opportunity to interview Ray Charles about a year before he died. And we talked a lot about this very thing, and he was just such a big fan of analog, but he did the same thing. He was dumping it down to the computer.
Well, you know, it's it makes things a lot easier for editing and mixing. It opens up a whole smorgasbord of different things that you can do. So if you can maintain the quality that you originally record, that you like, then, and it is in great detail these days, all frequencies are present, you know, it's a great thing to be able to do, you know, to be able to utilize.
Right, and you can do all the pitch correcting, which you couldn't do back in those days on tape.
Absolutely, yes, and just choosing a note here or there that doesn't, the keyboard player played a perfect, you know, solo, and then there's one note that he just didn't like, and you could just replace that note. You know, I don't think that's unfair.
Kind of blows your mind when you think about it. If you sang a word and you're like, oh, that word shouldn't be there, you can just take it out and edit it, and it's amazing, really.
Yes, as long as you use it for the good and not the
I like that. And I'm just fascinated by the fact that you're into engineering because I didn't know that about you. So I think your fans will be really interested too.
Well, I think it's because, well, I was that way inclined, but I was very, very lucky to work with some of the world's most incredible engineers. I mean, one of the first engineers I ever worked with was Glyn Johns when I was like 14 years old. It's sort of like starting at the top, you know, that he was at the peak of his, well, he was just starting at his peak, you know, to work with the Rolling Stones and then later on Zeppelin and you know, Eagles. He's the engineer's engineer, you know. So I started watching him and what he did with so little equipment in those days compared to what we have now, that you get to learn the fundamentals of microphone, mic pre, console, record, you know, and it's what you can do in between all those stations on its way to the record, you know. So, and it was very little that you could do in those days except EQ and okay and reverb and some delays and stuff like that. But it was all down to mic technique and all that. So I learned a hell of a lot. I'm getting in too technical now, but anyway, it was great learning from the masters, you know.
Right. Yeah, I always wonder how the Beatles did all that stuff they did because they had so few tracks.
Yes, they did phenomenal things with two four-track multi-track machines for even Sgt. Pepper was done on two four-tracks, not even eight-track. So yeah, it's quite amazing what they did with so little and completely changed the outlook on recording for everybody, you know. Between them and then the Beach Boys, with Brian Wilson's approach, between the two there, that completely changed the way popular music would be recorded forever, I think.
You're absolutely right. I agree with that 100%. Don't you think too, because the way that things were so limited back then, you almost had to be more creative than you do now?
When I started making records, you all had to play at once. You couldn't like all put your part down separately, you know. And I think that's where the performance came as so important back then, as opposed to now, where it's more like building blocks. I still like to record both ways. You know, both ways have their advantages and disadvantages. I really appreciate that. My band and I are going to go and do an album completely live, all playing all at once for the first time in so many years. But because we want the instantaneous feel that you used to get in the old days when you just go in and all have to do it that way. So we're looking forward to that.
That sounds like it's going to be really awesome.
Well, it's different for me in many years. It used to be the norm. So now we're going back, as you say, and still utilizing today's technology, but going back to the old way of doing it.
Right. Well, yeah, that should be really a fun experience and kind of a little walk down memory lane too, I guess.
Yeah, the band is, we're very excited about it. Can't wait.
When you write songs nowadays, do you sort of tap into the same types of themes that you did back then as far as life and love and conflict and all that, or have you found yourself maybe looking for other inspirations?
No, I think it's still all about what I go through, and which is what everybody goes through. But we all do different things for a living, but we all do the same things, if you know what I mean. We're still all human beings, and so I think that if you write about yourself and your experiences, obviously it's universal immediately. So I tend to write just about me and what what happens to me in my life and what I feel and what I think, you know. It's whatever I feel at the time.
This might sound like a really strange question because you had such big hits back in the 70s, but do you see that you've, you know, improved what you were doing back then?
Well, that has two sides to it. I think I have more technique in both my singing and, all three, my songwriting and my playing. But I think Happy Accidents, when you didn't know what you were doing, was quite good, too. So it's sometimes you can know too much. you know, because back in the days when I didn't know how to structure a song, I wrote some of my more popular songs. So and then as you do it more, you learn what you're supposed to do, which is probably not a good idea for some things, because there are no rules and shouldn't be no rules about creating anything. You know, it doesn't matter how you get there, it's the end result that matters. So anyway, that's my thing.
I think all artists always strive to keep on upping their game, so to speak. And you don't really do it necessarily because you're wanting it to be a big hit in the marketplace, but you're doing it because you have to.
Yeah, neither of which is I don't have to do, you know, I do what I do because I love to play music and I love to create music. And I think that's what drives me. And especially my band members, we all have the passion for the same kind of music, and that's why we play it so well together. So it's something that, you know, I think as we go along, I know my band improves me, and that's why, you know, we're going to do this next project together. It's just been this last 2 years of playing with the same band. We have developed so to such a high level that it would be a crime not to go into the studio straight away and record with it. So I'm looking forward to obviously creating music. I've created music before that to go in with this in the studio with, but also looking to create in the studio with them, because I think that's going to be that's going to surprise us all, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I wish I could be a fly on the wall. So you just celebrated the 40th anniversary of Frampton Comes Alive. It's
yes.
Hard to believe it's been that long.
I know, and couldn't be happier that people are still enjoying it, which blows my mind.
Yeah, you know, I listen to Sirius Radio. I always have The Bridge on or one of the classic rock stations. But every time they have Baby, I Love Your Way, I just turn it up. You know, it's like it never gets old. It just still sounds fresh. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just very, very timeless music. So,
well,
kudos to you for that, because that's hard to do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you're on tour right now with the Steve Miller Band.
Well, we just finished our last couple of dates up in the Bay Area, in Seattle, so we just did that, and that's the end of 2 years of summers together, which is, I think we did like 89 shows together or something like that over the 2 years. So it's pretty incredible. And it was a wonderful experience. Both bands were just very well suited. Everyone gets along. Big, happy family on the road. So couldn't be better. I don't know many bands that tour 2 years in a row together, you know. That's pretty good. Might be a Guinness Book of Records there. So, yeah, couldn't have been nicer. So we started out doing some dates, an evening with me and my band, and before we joined up with Steve this year, and we're going to end up that way. So that's why we're coming your way.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to it, too. Well, we're running out of time. Before we go, I just wanted to see if you could share with the listeners maybe just a piece of wisdom about something you've learned on your journey.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I would have to say that my driving force is always to listen to others, but listen to yourself, finally. You know, after you've taken in all, always listen to advice, but basically to do your next move in life, listen to your gut, because it's always right. It's never wrong. I've not listened to my gut at certain times in my life, and I've always regretted it. And ever since I realized that you've got to believe in that you're the only person that knows what is good for you, basically. So listen to yourself.
Wise words from Peter Frampton, and thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a great honor. I've been a big fan ever since I was a kid, which I can't believe I ever was a kid.
Me neither.
But what a pleasure, and thank you for the music.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks so much.
Listen to Luann's Land Podcast on Tuesdays from noon to 12:30 p.m. Pacific at luannslandpodcast.com or luannslandpodcast.buzzsprout.com. Follow the show on Facebook at Luann's Land Podcast and on Twitter at Luann's Land. All episodes will be archived for free on-demand streaming.